how money is supposed to work is that, like, the person who has the fucking most money is the person who's most valuable to society. And when the government is printing money and the money is broken, what happens is the people who are the least valuable and the most skilled at trickery and deception and fraud basically end up rising to the top. I want all the productive people to get Bitcoin, understand Bitcoin, and save in Bitcoin. The heart of civilization, like the core Iron Man heart of civilization, is the entrepreneur. If the entrepreneur is unhealthy, then everything else collapses. Everything fails. And if the entrepreneur is healthy and supported and has an environment that they can create and build and contribute in, then that's what grows out into civilization. Bitcoin is that ship, that ultimate tool for the entrepreneur to put them in a position where they can conduct business without all of the fucking weight and all of the crap that comes from the fiat system and also the heavily overregulated crazy government system. And it just frees everything up. Capitalism is so fucking powerful that, like, we haven't had anything close to, like, real capitalism since the creation of the Fed, right? And look at what we've accomplished in spite of that. It's very hopeful, because imagine the world when we just fucking, even if, like, just only 10% of the sludge was removed, imagine the efficiency. Like, it used to be year over year over year, even in spite of all the crazy shit, it was, like, better and better and better. Things got better. And then we just kind of hit this point where now, like, things are getting worse year over year over year. And I just can't wait to fucking return. I don't think, like, the system is going to change at all, because obviously everybody in it is incentivized for it not to change. I think that entrepreneurs who onboard and use Bitcoin, we're just going to build our own system, and people will transact in Bitcoin world, or they'll transact in fiat world. And just obviously the world without all of the fucking garbage is going to do way better. I think Bitcoin is so significant that we won't even mark the creation of money as an important time in human history. I think that Bitcoin will be the marker of the creation of money. I think we've all won the fucking lottery to be born at this time where the work we do now is gonna echo for 10,000 years in the Bitcoin space. There's just nothing that will has such an insanely crazy impact on civilization.
Madex, welcome. Fucking A. It's a shame this is not in person, but this will have to do for now. It's good to see you, man.
Good to see you as well. Yeah, looking forward to an in-person one at some point. Man, I've been doing these sober, so it's been a whole learning curve.
Are you, if you don't mind me asking, are you sober? Like, I thought you did drink, right?
Yeah, until this year. So
damn, and you went just fully. So you don't mind if I'm enjoying a couple of Miller lattes?
Of course not.
Okay.
No. Yeah.
Well, tell me about that. Was it just like you wanted to make a change? Like wanted some clarity? Like what led you to it?
Well, there was a particular event which I would discuss privately with you, but
okay, fair enough.
It had kind of been like a long time goal, just something you kind of say like, oh, you know, gotta quit drinking or whatever, but, or slow down or whatever. I was never like too, I had some crazy years, but, yeah, the funniest thing, man, about quitting drinking is that, like, you know, you go out with your buddies and you get kind of fucked up. And, like, you're having a good time, having some drinks, you're a little bit wasted. And, you know, inevitably, some point in the night, you say a bunch of fucking really stupid shit. And then, like, the next morning, you're all hungover and you're like, oh, fuck. Like, thinking about the fucking stupid shit you said. And then you could just pass it off and be like, oh, yeah, I was really fucked up. Like, I was drunk. So now I've been sober for 7 months now, and what I learned is that, like, I go out with my friends who are drinking and we all hang out, and inevitably in the night I just say a bunch of really fucking stupid shit. And then I wake up the next morning, not hungover. And I guess, you know, there's nobody to blame anymore. Can't just be like, oh, shit. I was fucked up. That's why I said all that embarrassing shit. So it turns out you just say a lot of fucking stupid shit sometimes. I think we all have that.
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, maybe the stupidity is in the eye of the beholder, right? Like, we're always our own harshest critics. I feel like there's just something about the nighttime in general, like whether you're drunk or sober or whatever else, something in between. It's like the nighttime casts a strange spell, I believe.
Yeah, it does.
Man, well, congrats on 7 months. I mean, that's you know, it's one of those things. Like, yeah, I should probably stop drinking. But then again, I just love these ice cold Miller Lights so much.
Yeah, man. I'll tell you, like, I'm not happy about this. Thrilled about this. I'm not pushing it on anybody. Like, to be honest with you, it fucking sucks. Like, I don't miss being hungover, but I definitely do miss being like fucking wasted with the bros, you know. And it's like, it's socially isolating in a lot of ways. That was actually one of my primary motivations, is because I just kind of figured I've got like a small window and a huge amount of work to do. And I've with just losing like a lot of time, from like being hungover and not being able to like come in and crush it, or having, you know, showing up late or whatever. And like, that is just that's the biggest benefit I've gotten from it, is just more time. But and obviously savings too, because of course, you know what they say, if it's not Chateau Neuf de Pop, it's fucking cooking wine. So like, the sat stacking has been going a lot better. And but yeah, I don't feel like amazingly more healthy or better. Like, I thought I would like feel 18 again. And that's just not the case. So,
you know, love me a little Chateauneuf de Pappy. Just wow. But I have not heard that particular expression. That's hilarious. But yeah, that shit will. That's a lot of sats per bottle. Let's just say, you know, that's the bill racks up quick.
I have. You know, it's interesting. I think just from my family upbringing, I was so forced into like an investment mentality that like every dollar I ever earned, it was like, if you earn money and you don't invest it and you spend it on something, then it's a loss. So like, my brain was very wired that like spending on anything was a loss. And so, like, I went through this, like, very, I guess, like stingy sort of cheap phase for a long time, where I wasn't spending, like, when it comes to wine in Canada, we have this brand called, like, Naked Grape. You just get a bottle of Naked Grape or Barefoot, I think they have in the States, and you just mix that up with some Coca-Cola.
And, hold on, you know, wait, no, you mix up problem, with Coca-Cola? Right? Wait.
Well, I mean, it's fucking really shitty wine, so you got to splash it with something.
Yeah, but why not maybe like some mineral water or something? Coca-Cola, man, you Canadians are wild, dude.
I think it's actually crazy. An Asian thing. I don't know. I can't remember. I think it was like a Korean person or something that showed it to me. But
I know the Germans do like beer and Coke, but wine and Coke, that's like, you just blew my mind.
Yeah. Well, it'll, you know, it makes the shitty wine taste great. Tastes like wine flavored Coca-Cola, you know, like Coke Cherry, but it's like Coke wine.
Okay.
It's great.
Okay.
But yeah, like, and then, you, yeah.
I was just going to say, so wait, you said you grew up in like a very like investment minded family. I assume that like if I can ask, like, you don't have to dox too much, but like, were your parents like from the investment world? Was that the situation, or was it something else?
No, they, well, I guess kind of, but, like, my family around me was all entrepreneurs.
Okay.
So like my dad was an entrepreneur. My godparents were entrepreneurs, and kind of, I didn't, most of my family is overseas in Europe, like my actual blood family. So, is the case a lot in Alberta that you kind of have, a lot of people's, families who are like new generations to Canada. It's kind of just, different people from different walks of life. And the area I happened to live in was just outside of the city, like where I was born, outside of the city. But everyone who was there pretty much was entrepreneurs or oil and gas workers or ranchers. So from like my entire upbringing really primed me to be ready for Bitcoin, which is great. And it makes me kind of think about how lucky like your son is and all the other Bitcoin kids that are growing up, because having Bitcoin parents is probably the best fucking thing that could happen. Like to anyone who complains about being late on Bitcoin, I always say, like, imagine what the people who haven't even been born yet feel. It's like, you can buy it today. It'll be fucking, if they're born 5 years from now and, you know, takes them like 15 years to kind of figure out that Bitcoin's a good idea, maybe longer in most cases, especially if they go into the fiat system. Like, that's fucking hard times, man. Like, by the time they're like, fuck, I should have bought Bitcoin, they'll be like, just $100 million coins. And like, our children will just be like, well, yeah. You know, my dad had this podcast and my dad was this psychopathic artist. And so it's like,
cooler than mine does, though. Like, you know, like psychopathic.
Well, I mean, I like,
my dad had a podcast. Like,
I mean, but you're also a creator, which is great, which is why I'm really happy to be here. I think there's a lot too many podcasts. I think that the perfect combo is like, have the podcast, because why not? It's fucking fun. But also like, make stuff. And you guys actually make stuff, which is great.
We've been on a pseudo hiatus from like making stuff with just because of our little guy. And let's be honest, Carla was the production guru behind all of that. I'm just the pretty face, you know? And so
yeah.
That's slowed down a little bit, but we're going to try to kick back into it a little bit, just because, like, I don't know, the vibes have also shifted, though. Like, when we started making content was like bear market. Like, that was when we really like got into making content hardcore. And like, you know, it's like, I don't know, the vibes are somehow better in the bear market in some ways.
Yeah, they
like,
are.
You know what I mean? Like, it's counterintuitive. Like, you'd think like, oh, bull market. Yeah. Everybody, like, we've only been here like, so one full cycle now since like 2020. And throughout that time, now you could argue if we're in a bull market now or if we're just starting or whatever, if it's a super cycle, it doesn't matter. We've got like one cycle under our belts. You've got a little more than that, so you've seen this multiple times. But the bear market just felt better. Like, it was more like, it felt more somehow close-knit. Like, there was less infighting. Mm-hmm. There was more like fighting the external threats. It seems like once things get too good, it's like you look for problems. You know, you look for problems within and you fight within more. I don't know. Yeah. That's just my perception. I don't know how you feel about it.
Well, the wealth also invites the scammers.
Well said.
So, you know, like, it's very hard to scam in a bear market without like euphoria, right? Like, the best advantage a scammer can have is hope. So, you know, if things aren't looking hopeful, it's a worse environment. Because that's where I see like the root of pretty much all, like, I don't pay too much attention to it, but the root of the fighting I see is like, there's a gang of people trying to pull some scam on the noobs and the normies. And then the other side is people who have ethical standards being like, hey, fuck you, that's bullshit. But yeah, in the bear market, I mean, it's much, that's like all the kind of bloatware goes away in the bear market. And you just have like the lifers, which is a lot of fun, because and it's really I think when you really get Bitcoin and there's like an 80% crash, it's like, fuck yeah, like, this is sick. Because, you know, we're if the price goes down and you're unhappy, it just means you're lazy, right? You're not earning enough. You don't have cash flow. You're not. Right. And if you're smart enough to be in Bitcoin, then you should be smart enough to be making fucking money. So, like, if you're pissed when the price goes down, like, you're slacking, in my opinion.
I am definitely not a trader. I'm trying to hold my Bitcoin for the long term. And if you're like me, you need to make sure you keep that Bitcoin safe. by going to bitbox.swiss/walker and using the promo code Walker for 5% off the fully open source Bitcoin only Bitbox O2 hardware wallet. Then get your Bitcoin off the exchange and into your own self custody. Bitcoin is chop solidating right around 100K, but we have companies, nation states, and a whole lot of plebs like you and me who are stacking harder than ever. So it's going to keep ripping higher. But now is the best time for you to get your security locked down tight with Bitbox. Plus, and I can't emphasize this enough, the Bitbox O2 is just easy as hell to use. Whether you're brand new to Bitcoin, it's your first time setting up a hardware wallet, so you're a little bit nervous, it's understandable, or you are a well-seasoned psychopath, you will have no problem with the Bitbox. And again, it's fully open source and Bitcoin only, but you don't have to trust me, you can go and verify that for yourself on their GitHub. When you go to bitbox.swiss/walker and use the promo code Walker, not only do you get 5% off, but you also help support this podcast. So thank you. I like that mentality a lot. I think that's honestly spot on, and it's going to become truer. Like, it's already true. That's a fact, in my opinion. It's going to become even more true, I think, as the years go on, as Bitcoin is repricing the world, as it's getting more and more expensive in fiat terms, right? You need to you need to keep up with Bitcoin. You need to be producing a lot of value. Like, you can't just be sitting on your ass doing nothing. Like, you can if you already have more Bitcoin than you know what to do with, I'm super happy for you. Great. That's awesome. And good for you. You were smarter than I was years before I was, but that's not me. I need to make sure, because I also have expenses, a family and everything. And I need to make sure I create value, and I need to create more than I consume. And it's a pretty simple thing. It's you want to lose weight, you need to be in a caloric deficit. You need to be, burning more calories than you consume. If you do that, you'll lose weight. If you're eating more calories than you burn, you're going to gain weight. It's with some weird little caveats, and people get all triggered by this, but basically that's how it works. And it's the same thing with value. It's you need to be creating value. And if you are not, value is going to go away from you. Whatever value you've accumulated, you will lose it little by little. It'll be siphoned away. So it's I remember that dip down to, what did it get down to, 16K or something? Terrifying on the one hand, because I bought all the way up to the tippity top, because I was it's going up forever.
Same, man. I thought we'd finally made it. And I mean, to be fair, we probably would have, except if, it, and that's every single one of these bear markets is caused by a scammer's project imploding. Every single one. So
why can't they just quit scamming and go do something worthwhile? But scammers are always going to scam, right? There's always going to be a percentage of very intelligent people who have zero moral compass. I mean, dare I say, 1% of the population is clinical psychopathy. They're literal psychopaths. They can't feel empathy. I'd say a lot of those scammers end up in that camp. And maybe that's giving them too much of an out. They could just be shitty people, fully capable of feeling empathy, but they're just pieces of shit.
Yeah, I think they lie to themselves mostly is what I find.
Yeah.
Right? I've been around for a long time and could have gotten involved in all kinds of crazy shit. And every once in a while, I'm maybe it'd be nice to have $200 million stashed away. But what I realized, especially on this recent trip to Vegas, I got invited to I didn't get invited. I snuck in actually to this crypto thing that was in this penthouse bar, and I just there was probably 70 prostitutes in there, and Jesus. I just felt so fucking bad for these guys. I was the thing with if you're a bureaucrat or fucking political or a scammer or from any of this looting and leeching class, you don't produce anything. So if you don't produce anything, then the only thing you can do with the money you have is spend it. You can't make anything. So, what are your options? You can buy Ferraris, you can buy prostitutes, you can buy drugs, you can go fucking gamble. Like, you run out of stuff to do, like, really fucking quickly. And I think that's why a lot of these people who end up with all this money are fucking depressed, man. Because, like, they didn't get it by using their productivity. They got it through treachery and trickery. And then, so, like, once you have, like, the whole, in my mind, the whole fucking purpose of money is to build, is to make. And if you don't have any fucking skills making, creating, like, money's pretty fucking useless in a lot of ways, right? Like, and the more and more you make, like, the more useless it can kind of become. I think I don't think you can be happy with hundreds of millions of dollars unless you have the ability to create.
I couldn't agree more. It's like, money buys a lot of things. It doesn't buy purpose. Like, it doesn't buy fulfillment. Like, quite the opposite. Like, if you get money through they're ill-gotten gains, like, it's hollow, right? Like, and as much as you lie to yourself, like, your subconscious knows, again, unless you're a psychopath, in which case,
yeah,
good for you, go fuck yourself, you don't care about anyone, so I don't care about you, like, rotten hell, dude, don't care. But like, for a non-psychopathic person, like, your subconscious knows the truth. It knows that you didn't get that, get what you have through any sort of actual constructive value-adding behavior. You got it through extractive parasitic behavior. And however much you lie to yourself, however many things you spend money on, nothing's going to fill that gaping void left by a lack of real purpose. Because I think, like, real fulfillment comes from creating things of value, from building things up, not from leeching off of them. And it's like, you know, to your point, it's like, yeah, you know, money's great, but like, the means matter when it comes to the end. Like, you know, the ends don't really justify the means. Like, if the means are shitty, okay, yeah, you got to the end you wanted, but like, is that really what you wanted? Or did you want to actually feel good about yourself and feel fulfilled and be able to keep building things? Like, I don't know. There's a lot of leeches out there. There's a lot of parasites.
Yeah, I mean, the nightmare would be to like make it and then have nothing to do.
Right?
Like, well, like that'll never happen for me, man. Like,
if I
got $1 billion to allocate, I know exactly what the fuck to do with it. Now, if you want to talk about returns, I don't know about that. But I can tell you, I can spend that billion very well and make a lot of very cool stuff. You know, I also found, like, recently, because, like, I've been in pursuit of wealth all my life. And one thing I found recently is that I think that the scarcity actually helps you make decisions on what's important. I think if you just have billions of dollars, it's really hard to decide what to do, because you don't have that, like when you're building wealth, if you make a mistake, then it's like a lot, just the stakes are so much higher for the decisions that you make on like what to build, what to create, what to do, what to invest in, what. And if you just have billions of dollars and you like lose 10 million here or 100 million there or whatever, like the stakes are just so low. So I can imagine it being like, I don't fucking have that money. So I have no idea. But just when I look out into the world and I see how much wealth supposedly people have and how like there's a massive shortage of really fucking crazy dope stuff, like there's got to be some kind of fucking disconnect happening. You know, so I think that like, cause tons of people are, especially in this Bitcoin world, like you get into this on this pursuit to become wealthy and all of that, but like, it's the hardship and the struggle and the process of creating the wealth, that signals like what values most to you and what you care most about. So I think that I'm personally very grateful for where I started and where, you know, I'm working to get, and, you know, skipping that step by like doing a fucking ICO or an NFT or ordinal scam, like, you know, you just lose so much, important data, so much important feedback, and, you know, it could be just totally, it's like, and then especially you'll fucking lose it really quickly, I think, as well. Like lottery winners, a lot of times they win the fucking lottery, get a shitload of money, and it's just fucking gone a few years later. And I think that's because the process of creating wealth is the same tools, the same skills that allow you to to preserve it.
I think that's spot on. And I want to get into that a little bit about the whole, like the NFTs and everything, because like, I mean, actually maybe first of all, like we should take just like one step back just for folks that don't know you. I'm always bad at giving introductions. So like, I'd rather you just do it. Like who are you, Medix? How did you get here to be this hardcore, Bitcoin, you know, psychopathic Bitcoin artist or psychopathic artist who also likes Bitcoin? I don't want to pigeonhole you with just Bitcoin art. You know, how did you get here, man?
Well, I'm a maker, I'm a designer, and I wanted meaning in my life, and I wanted meaning in the stuff I made and designed, and I want to make a contribution to other people's lives in the same way as those before me made a contribution to mine. And I discovered Bitcoin along the journey of trying all kinds of stuff and realized it was it's when we look back on history, there will be the wheel. And then I think Bitcoin is so significant that we won't even mark like the creation of money as like an important time in human history. I think that Bitcoin will be the marker of the creation of money. So I think it's like I think we've all won the fucking lottery to be born at this time where the effort, like the work we do now is going to echo for 10,000 years in the Bitcoin space. You know, there's just nothing that has such an insanely crazy impact on civilization. So that's what got me really fully into Bitcoin. And I along that journey, I met Francis Pouliot, the founder of Bull Bitcoin. And it was just at the right time where he wanted to create Bull. And I was friends with Dave Bradley, and Dave Bradley was co-founding with it, and the whole like plan for Bull came together, and I was just in the right place, right time, with the right skill set to come on and create the brand. And so I guess this is a long and rambling story, but like I make stuff, I'm a designer. And I contribute to Bitcoin through my art, which the goal around the whole art and the whole Madex brand is to kind of make Bitcoin cool, make Austrian economics cool. Because, you know, really, I mean, there's nothing cool about like being a commie, that's for sure. And I don't know why. Well, of course I know why, but I mean, it's just crazy to me that people get so sucked into that when we have so much talent, so much ability in ourselves. Like I look at these fucking hands and I'm like, the things that these can fucking do is so crazy. Like everything you see in the world came from these two little tools, right? And to be like, oh, somebody else should do it for me is just like so fucking lame. So anyway, that's my long and rambling story, but I make fucking amazing shit. I'm on a trajectory to build a huge fucking brand. I want to go absolutely like Saint Laurent level with it, anchored in Bitcoin, funded by Bitcoin, supported by Bitcoiners, and essentially like Bull and Madex together are like, and especially Madex, this like just giant fucking Trojan horse project to onboard as many fucking people as I possibly can. And so, you know, the goal with the brand and the reach with Bull, like when we just launched in Europe, and we had like a bunch of people contacting us or talking to us, like when we were in Prague, and being like, so are you guys like a fashion company? Like is Bull like, and you know, meanwhile, Bull is the industry standard leader for Bitcoin engineering in the world, and like the most technical savvy project I think there is. And making it cool allows people to like discover like all the insane stuff that we're doing. So that's the goal, is just reach people with I guess, what it means to have a Bitcoin life, and to be powered by Bitcoin. And yeah, on board for, you know, the changes I think many of us are aware are inevitable at this point, but like, it still takes work. It's not like the Michael Saylor thing where, oh, okay, everybody just don't worry, it's just going to happen. It's like, no, we actually have to build it. We have to build the infrastructure. We have to build the marketing. We have to build the brand, and like the brand of Bitcoin. Like that's what I really want Madex to contribute to. Is just the way the Bitcoin brand was done was perfect from the beginning, because like it kind of had to be a little bit like Fisher Pricey, because otherwise it may have been taken more seriously earlier. And, you know, I there was a really long period of time where Bitcoin could have failed very easily. If, you know, the banksters and the fiaters were paying more attention. So, but now we're in a really great position. And I think the overarching goal for the whole thing is we have to get as much fucking talent into Bitcoin as possible. And so those are my goals and what drives me. And yeah.
Fuck yeah, man. Wait, can I ask you, you know, what do you think is the true brand of Bitcoin, like the non Fisher Pricey, not what it is presented as so far? What is this, the under the surface, like the, what is the subversive brand of Bitcoin in your mind?
Well, I mean, if you're running Bitcoin, it means you can do what you want, when you want, with whoever you want, wherever you want, whenever you want, right? It's like a, you know, it's a ship, right? And all the components like Madex, Bull Bitcoin, like, you know, even Tether, like all the crypto crap, like all the podcast, like everybody who is fucking bringing some kind of attention to Bitcoin, that's like just all stuff that's out there happening. It's like what Bitcoin needs, like even like the scammers in a lot of ways, because like, you know, that I think everybody gets scammed at some point in their Bitcoin journey. And I think that the sooner it happens, the better, because that's like what ultimately leads you to understanding like why Bitcoin is the only application of blockchain and the only cryptocurrency. But like what Bitcoin to me is a ship. It's just total freedom.
I mean, I like that. And like all aboard all aboard this fucking ship. Like, or, you know, like you should get aboard. Most people won't. And that's the thing. It's like, we can't save everyone. That's a realization. And I'm not the first person to say that, nor will I be the last.
Yeah.
I'm long in a list of people saying you can't save everyone. But it's true. And I think that's a realization a lot of people come to once you've spent a little bit of time in Bitcoin. And again, I still consider myself like early, like I'm still early in my Bitcoin journey. I know fucking nothing. I'm like, I'm still a sponge. I'm trying to learn as much as I can and trying to do whatever I can to like, to spread that, you know, that good word, to spread that gospel, you know, to spread that truth, however you want to say it. But like, man, it's funny because you, if you didn't know any better and you just were hearing about Bitcoin for the first time right now, you've been living under a rock for a while, but a lot of people have, because they pay attention to the Real Housewives of whatever and whatever sports team. There's nothing wrong with that. Do whatever the fuck you want to do with your life. But if you're just hearing about Bitcoin now and you've been kind of asleep and you now hear about this thing where it's like you're hearing about it in the context of corporate treasuries and the U.S. government, you know, legislation and all these different things, you may have a really distorted view of what Bitcoin is, like what Bitcoin really is, what Bitcoin really means. And maybe that's okay too. Maybe that's just like a natural part. Maybe it's necessarily true that you need, like, you only need a certain small cohort of people to really understand the truth of something in order to make that truth into a reality. Does that make sense? Like we're never going to, everyone is not going to be a fucking toxic Bitcoin maximalist. It's just not going to happen. It's not possible.
Yep.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, well, first of all, I would say to everybody, especially anyone who's new, is like, don't waste your time on anybody who's not interested in what we're up to. I mean, like, it's so fucking crystal clear that Bitcoin wins at this point. That, you know, just the only people I spend time like sharing Bitcoin stuff with are people who are actually curious and interested, and they want to know, and they're willing to listen. I like say, like, you got to watch out for the well, actually, people, because it, like, they just say so much complete. It's the Brandolini's law thing where it just takes a huge amount of energy to refute the bullshit. And if they say something fucking dumb, like, you, every single stupid thing that somebody says about Bitcoin has, like, they're missing entire, you know, segments of data that just cannot be filled in a conversation at the bar or at Thanksgiving dinner. It's just like, okay, you, like, the main thing being like, you don't fucking understand what money even is in the first place. And, you know, like, nobody's worth talking to if they don't know how actually, like, how money actually works. And then tons of, like, I feel like over the years, there's been this weird desire to, like, get the suits in, because maybe, I don't know, I can remember a time in my life where I felt very embarrassed about, like, skipping out on university. I could have had a very glamorous university career, we could say. And I chose not to do that. Chose to just make my own way. And I think that, like, during that time when I would meet, like, people who did do the university thing and went down these trails that lead to, like, all these financial instruments, and is that it was almost like you want their approval for some reason. It's like you want them to be like, oh yeah, you were right about the Bitcoin stuff. But, like, dude, you just get so fucking wealthy from the Bitcoin that, like, it doesn't matter. Like, do you care about, I think in the beginning when you're building, it's like you want, like, reassurance on your investment or something. And you think because somebody has a fucking university degree that they actually fucking know dick about shit, but they don't. They don't know fucking anything. They're programmed with the Keynesian stuff. And on top of that, especially in Canada, like, all the insane communist propaganda. And yeah, I don't know. I think just when you're young, you want to, like, prove yourself into the world, and you're looking for all this, like, supportive feedback. But, like, one or two cycles with Bitcoin, and, like, you know, hopefully just the fact that you've 10x net worth is enough that you don't need to do. Like, I'm really disgusted by the suit simping. I would like it to stop. Like, I'm a suits last supporter. I don't want any old money coming into Bitcoin. Old money, if earned ethically, is fine. But, like, I don't want any of that crap here, man. Like, all they do is fucking use big words and fucking sophisticated, complex sounding crap to, like, sound like they're smarter than you, and that you need to hire them to do something that you could just do for yourself. And, like, all of fiat obviously is set up to support that, because of how complicated they make it. And now you got to spend, like, half your time just trying to outrun inflation. But yeah, man, like, suits last. Like, fuck them. They had their time. They made all this money. And, like, how money is supposed to work is that, like, the person who has the fucking most money is the person who's most valuable to society. And when the government is printing money and the money is broken, what happens is the people who are the least valuable and the most skilled at trickery and deception and fraud basically end up rising to the top. And so, like, you got girls going around right now, and they'll go out to the bar and they'll meet a guy who's, like, an HVAC person, and they'll be like, eh, I don't want to talk to you. But then they meet some guy who's an investment banker, you know, vice president, right? Cause there's fucking 1,000 vice presidents at every bank. And, you know, that guy does not produce anything, right? And so I think all of that is just, like, totally societally screwed up. And, you know, my hope is that my focus is to onboard everybody that supports my life and what I need. So stuff I need to maintain properties, stuff I need to maintain my home, stuff I need to operate my business, my daily day life. I want all the productive people to get Bitcoin, understand Bitcoin, and save in Bitcoin. Because, like, I mean, the road for an HVAC guy to have a Ferrari collection is like really, really, really difficult. Whereas investment banking, you just got to suck dick up to a certain point and then it just opens up for you, right? And Bitcoin will change that, because all it's going to take is like, you know, for one company to be like, okay, like the HVAC guy or like an auto mechanic shop or any of these things that are actually fucking contribute to civilization to start accepting Bitcoin, all the Bitcoiners will go to their business because they'll be stoked to be able to like pay for their car with Bitcoin. And then, you know, they can sell whatever percentage of it, but as long as they're fucking saving it, like that amount of Bitcoin will become the financier for everything that fucking business and anyone connected to it does in the future. And you know, that's who I want to win, right? Like the heart of civilization, like the core Iron Man heart of civilization is the entrepreneur. If the entrepreneur is unhealthy, then everything else collapses, everything fails. And if the entrepreneur is healthy and supported and has an environment that they can create and build and contribute in, then that's what grows out into civilization. And Bitcoin is that ship, that ultimate tool for the entrepreneur, to put them in a position where they can conduct business without all of the fucking weight and all of the crap that comes from the fiat system and also the heavily overregulated crazy government system. And, you know, it just frees everything up. And I'm really excited. I remember for a long period, like we can look at our world right now and like, it's incredible what we've been, like capitalism is so fucking powerful that like we haven't had it for like 125 years or something. We haven't had anything close to like real capitalism since the creation of the Fed, right? And look at what we've accomplished in spite of that. So it's very hopeful, because imagine the world when we just fucking, even if like just only 10% of the sludge was removed, imagine the efficiency. Like it used to be year over year over year, even in spite of all the crazy shit, it was like better and better and better. Things got better. And then we just kind of hit this point where now like things are getting worse year over year over year. And I just can't wait to fucking return. And I think it'll be powered by I don't think like the system is going to change at all, because obviously everybody in it is incentivized for it not to change. I think that entrepreneurs who onboard and use Bitcoin are just going to build, we're just going to build our own system, and people will transact in Bitcoin world, or they'll transact in fiat world. And just obviously the world without all of the fucking garbage is going to do way better.
First of all, fuck yeah. And second of all, I think that that's a really important point. Like, cause this debate is always about like, oh, well the, you know, the fiat system, like, are we going to, you know, we're going to fix the money, you know, but like, and that'll fix the fiat system. And it's like,
yeah, no, it's well, changed the money.
Yeah. It's like the money's already been fixed. Like we already, like Bitcoin already fixed the money. Now,
yeah.
The fiat system cannot embrace Bitcoin fully, because it would mean the destruction of itself. And as you exactly pointed out, it's like that won't happen. It won't destroy itself, at least on purpose. And that's why we have this parallel system of people who just freely and willingly say, yeah, I'm going to accept Bitcoin. I'm going to value my time, my energy, my labor, my thoughts, my dreams, my hopes. I'm going to value all of that in Bitcoin. I'm going to denominate it in Bitcoin. And that's how I'm going to live my life. And the more people that kind of move over to that system, move their time, move their energy, start thinking in that way, it sucks the energy out of that fiat system. And like it's the parallel system that forces change on the existing fiat system. But again, still the existing fiat system, like it just wants to perpetuate itself. And those who benefit from it want to perpetuate it. It's going to stay as it is for the foreseeable future. In the meantime, things are going to get, I mean, I'm very hopeful in the long term, like extremely hopeful, like so bullish on humanity's future. In the short term, I'm kind of like, things are going to get mega fucked. And it's going to be not super pleasant for a lot of people in the world. And like, you better make sure you have your house in order and your shit on lock. And like, hopefully you've got, you know, you've got some Bitcoin and you've got some guns and you've got access to fresh water. And like, cause you just don't know what might happen, you know?
Yeah. And well, I mean like the, either you will, there will just be the Bitcoin class and people who operate on Bitcoin, their lives just will continue to get better. And we'll continue to get more organized and coordinate better. And it'll just continue to grow. And I think on the fiat side, like things are going to get really rough, but, you know, we can you can just leave, wherever you are, if you need to, if you really had to. And, there are places that will become sort of, you know, the percentage of people, the highest percentage of people running Bitcoin will be the places that end up kind of brain draining and kind of sucking everybody into. And like the more the fiat world kind of blows apart, that'll free up a lot of like the, you know, state garbage that is preventative of a lot of like traveling to different places and things like that. So it's kind of like, I think about it like the, in Mexico, you have the cartels and the government. And so you have like this balance in a way where neither side really has the monopoly on violence. And so you have, everybody has a choice of whether they want to like live in cartel neighborhoods with paved roads and streetlights, or if they want to live in government neighborhoods with potholes and, you know, crack addicts, right? And I think it's the same thing for Bitcoin and fiat. You just, the way I see it, the way I hope, is that you'll just have a choice, and like it'll be kind of like an Elysium thing, right? Which sucks, but like, hey, if you don't like it in fiat world, with one simple trick you can switch over. And so long as you've, like, I think every single fucking person listening to this show, every person in fucking Bitcoin needs to be developing their fucking skills and developing their talents and developing their brain. And like you said, or like we said earlier, like get good at providing value. And I find a lot of guys like are like, there's a huge push from people who are new to want to get involved and like do something in Bitcoin. They want to do something Bitcoin related. But like, if you're already like a master woodworker and now you want to like leave your job woodworking to go and start a Bitcoin podcast, like that's probably not a good idea. Like just get fucking way better at woodworking, because for example, I have the intention to build Madex mansions, crazy fucking wild homes one day, and I'm going to need talent for that. I'm going to need fucking super skilled woodworking people to come in, or name whatever the trade is. And, you know, especially the name of the game is like, in my opinion, it's like, you know, obviously you want to do something that you enjoy and that you care about. But I think when you build a skill in something and you get better and better and better at it, that makes you care about it and makes you love it. Like everything I love about myself is the stuff I'm good at. Everything I hate about myself is the stuff I'm bad at. And I'm just like constantly trying to, you know, get better at what I'm good at and like not try to worry less about what I'm bad at, like shipping. Madex art, 10 stars. Madex customer service, 1 star. But, you know, I'm finding people who can help me like where I fall short. And anyway, so like my summary on that point being like, whatever it is you're already good at, like just get fucking better at it. And like, if you're bored, it probably just means you're not trying.
Honestly, it's good advice. I'm curious too, just on the topic of, okay, artists, woodworkers, like, which is a form of artisanship, right? Do you think we see does this parallel system that Bitcoin has enabled, does this does this generally force or encourage a return back to like true artisanship, back to a true, not just like as a hobby, but like as a profession, as a class of people that's like, cause I feel like that's like something we've lost. And like, we can get into kind of like fiat art a little bit later, which I'd love to, but like, do you think we see a return to that? Like, do we see a return to even like patronage as a, to support artists and artisans? Like, is that something we start to see come back as people amass these large fortunes and say like, yo, I love what like Madex is doing. I just want to give him like some Bitcoin, no strings attached, to like keep doing that. Like, cause this is how like the Renaissance, like that's what the Renaissance was a bunch of people that had a fuckload of money saying, yo, I like this Da Vinci guy. We should give him a shitload of money so that he can just focus on doing whatever the fuck comes into his mind. And that's it. And like, he doesn't have to worry about like stupid shit, like having a boring job. Like, he can just make shit. Like, do you think that comes back? Is it starting to already?
Yeah, yes, it comes back. I mean, fuck, send me 100 Bitcoins and find out, right? Like, I have some fucking crazy, you know, and I'm building towards it. It's going to happen inevitably, but, that's what we want to unlock for anybody, right? Like, the most common thing we see in fiat is the master oil painter is working as a clerk in a legal office. The master fucking carpenter is working as a framer, like somebody who can sculpt anything out of fucking wood to extreme detail is working framing like trailer homes, basically, at this point. That's all they're building in Canada, by the way, trailer homes. Even like the crazy luxury mansions, they're all just stick builds. And, like Bitcoin makes you think about the future and it makes you think about being awesome and leaving stuff that's fucking awesome. Because I mean, like, look at what previous generations left for us. That's fucking incredible. And like, isn't it exciting to have the potential to do the same? And, you know, like when I'm looking to build something just because of what Bitcoin has done to my mind, I want it to last into the future. I want it to go to my children. I want it to be generational. Like, I think, like, I really, really, really believe in generational wealth and having something that you care about that, you know, 100 years from now, one of your descendants will have like that pocket knife or that backpack and the same thing. And I think that's really fucking cool. Like, all the stuff, I'm sure everybody feels the same way, I would guess. Like, all the things I value the most are the things I have from my great-grandparents, my grandparents, and you know, particularly since losing my dad, like my dad. Like, my favorite fucking jacket in the whole world is my dad's old jacket, you know? And there's just like, there's so much value that can go into things from just like the story of life. And if that thing is shit, then the story goes with the object as well, right? Like, luckily, like the coat I'm particularly thinking about from my dad, like, it was made in a time where this thing was built to fucking last. And like, it'll last my entire life, it'll last my future son's entire life. It will just continue to get passed down year over year over year. And, you know, that is important. I think that something that fiat has really attacked, is our heritage and where we came from. There's this super disconnect between like us today and our ancestors. And it's kind of like, you know, instead of thinking about our histories, we are on Instagram, which is an awful waste of everything, right? And so I think that the ability, and like, obviously, especially when it comes to art, like what I'm selling is the most luxurious fucking item that you could possibly fucking buy. It is the most like of if anything fucking goes wrong in an economy, like, art is the first thing that stops getting made. And that's in these boom and busts. But like when we switch to a Bitcoin standard, we don't have those anymore. We just have up and up and up and up, better and better and better and better and more. And just like it, if everybody's becoming wealthier, like just imagine the possibilities that are out there. Like I'm super motivated with Madex for people to see what I'm doing and it lead them to have the courage to develop whatever their like base talents and abilities are for themselves. Because like I make fucking amazing shit, but like I also really appreciate amazing shit. And when I look at my own stuff, I don't like it really. You know, like I like it. It's cool. Obviously I'm making it for myself, but the experience of like when I meet someone who's making something that's fucking crazy, you know, I want to be able to make acquisitions and do support, and I want to support artists and creators and stuff as well. So I want as many creative people as possible to be well funded. And I think it's happening across the board. I think that I think we're just too early in the Bitcoins right now. I think there will be like this moment where the cash will just be like the value of the coins will just be so fucking crazy that it'll just start happening. And I'm not really sure we're there yet. I think that like even some of the people I know who are like secret billionaires are not spending right now. They're still in HODL mode, which is great because like I want, you know, anarcho-capitalists to be the wealthiest people in the world. And so the more wealth that they can build, the better that is for everybody. But I think that the time is coming at some point where it'll change and there'll be a lot more investment into the creative side of things. And also, like, it's important to do it fucking now because, like, if Madex wasn't funded, then I just wouldn't be here. I would go and, you know, be working in the fucking oil rigs or something, like where I started. And thanks to the support I've had in Bitcoin, like I'm able to focus entirely on creating the best possible fucking artwork that I possibly can and finding people who are insanely talented and assembling teams and figuring out how to develop stuff and figuring out how to scale and expand. And like all of that is done from the support right now, a very small amount of people that like really believe in what I'm doing and have supported me in kind of the same way that you've described. And like if when you see talent in the world, if you don't support it, then you are condemning it. Because and a lot of the attitude is like, okay, well, I'll do this when coins are X amount or whatever. But like if you just let all the creatives fucking die, then when the time actually comes and we're at $100 million coins, there's going to be nobody to do the work, right? It's like a garden. It has to be grown, like, you know, or a crop. You have to cultivate it and water it and grow it over time and like have to ensure that if you want to spend your Bitcoin on really fucking amazing shit in the future, like that's the whole goal, I'm assuming, hopefully. Can't just HODL until you die. That would be pretty whack. You know, it's like to have access to people who have those fucking skills. Like we talk a lot about when we look into the past and see all these crazy things that they've made and they're like, oh yeah, well, like with technology today, you can't do that. And it's because like we let those tradespeople die. Yeah. And that's really the huge super mega destroyer when you imagine like the destruction that printing money actually has on a civilization. It's like, not just a loss of wealth, it's a loss of everything that fucking comes out of wealth, which is the most important asset, human creativity. So I think the change will happen. I think that anybody who's in that like thousands of coins kind of situation, call me and let's fucking make some things happen because, you know, the more energy I can take in and then allocate, then like the farther all of this can go. And really success is like this massive it's the main driver to get involved in anything. And so like success stories, I think already Madex is looking really good. And it's like, okay, well, how did all that start? And it's like, well, it started in Bitcoin. Like, he had a skill, he brought it to Bitcoiners, and Bitcoiners invested in him to define and build and cultivate that skill and get better and better and better. And I want to show the world that Bitcoin is a place that you can bring your wares and bring your talents and receive support. And that's also why I'm like super critical on stuff that, like, I have Canadian fucking blood in me, so I'm like overly kind, but like I would like to get even more ruthless on things, because like my primary message is just like fucking do better. And like, even if you already think you're the best, like, do better, man, do more, and like level up and scale up. And just, I don't want to give out any praise for stuff that is not reaching like what I see as like a minimum standard for greatness. And I want to see more. Like, the best possible thing I could see happening is that like 10 years from now, there's like somebody who's like the new Madex or something that's making just like totally insane, crazy stuff. Hopefully I can find them and hire them at Madex before they bust out on their own. That would be fucking sweet. Because that's ultimately what I want to do, is build a team of artists and artisans and creators. Like, the long-term goal for Madex is to be like a design firm and be like, okay, we're building this hydroelectric dam and we want it to reflect how fucking cool it is. You know, it's not just about making Bitcoin fucking cool. It's about making all the things that fucking power are, that are, we cannot survive without, fucking cool. Like, dude, the oil derricks.
I love that.
You know, I like when you walk to a fucking drill site, I want it to feel like a cathedral. Like, we should honor these things with the same energy that we put into honoring, you know, honor the motor and honor the gear and honor the hydroelectric dams and whatever other crazy fucking amazing stuff we build. Like, it should be, I think these tools should be really well respected. And I think right now they're just the bare minimum because, like, you know, of all the fiat forces, and also, like, you know, everything's got to be cost competitive and all that kind of stuff. But when the oil companies become insanely fucking wealthy because they're converting a lot of their oil profits into Bitcoin, why not make the derricks fucking look like cathedral spires, right? Like, obviously with function in mind as well, but like, why not have them have that inspiration? And I think it's already there. Like, when I go and look at pump jacks and things, like, I just think they're beautiful. And like, when I look at engines, I just think it's just, there's just such spirit in them. And I would like to see more love and more care put into all of these, you know, technologies that drive us. Brings more people in, makes more people more, it makes people proud of what they're doing, I think.
Well, let me ask you, like, this is something that I think about a lot, which is just like the, what is downstream versus upstream of what? But in the context I want to talk to you about it, it's like, when it comes to art versus culture, like, is art upstream of culture? You know, does the art create the culture? Does the culture create the art? How do you look at this as somebody who is an artist? Like, I feel like you are uniquely positioned to speak on this with some authority. How do you view that?
Well, like, we need each other.
Fair.
And, you know, I think the culture, that like the culture fuels the art, because like it generates patrons for the artisans and the creators. And then the art itself, like, inspires more people to be involved.
Do you think sometimes that, like, the art is a rejection of culture, though? Like, it's a reject, like a lot of what you do, the art you create, is a rejection of fiat culture. it's a it's the complete opposite. So like, is that part of the equation as well? Like the, maybe like the culture can fuel the art, but also the art can be a complete rejection of that culture. You know, do you know what I mean? Like it like,
yeah.
Cause that's when I look at your art, I'm like, it says fuck fiat to me. Like, and yeah. I love that.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. It's, I mean, I think that people just like the thing about capitalism is that it's natural. It's just what happens. It's just emergent from what we are. And, but the problem with capitalism for people who are bullish on slavery and global domination is that it makes that impossible. And, you know, it's been extremely well financed, which is like why I think it's become so strong. But it's not fucking natural, right? Like these commies, like we give them all a fucking hard time, but at the end of the day, like why they're such losers is because they're not reaching their potentials. They're not becoming who God wants them to be. And they're using every possible thing as an excuse to be the reason why they can't fulfill themselves. And like the answer is that fulfillment and, you know, walking the path to become yourself is hard, really hard work. It's really it's an odyssey. It's the odyssey, right? It's difficult and it's taxing and it's painful and it's, you know, at what, no matter where you are in civilization, like if you're walking that path coming from nothing or from a wealthy family or whatever it is, it's hard and it takes courage to like to answer the call. And because everything that the state and fiat does is to stimulate dependency, you know, it's really, it just makes it, the whole system is set up to make it easy to like, not reach higher. And, you know, creating the life that you want to live is made entirely possible, with capitalism. And, I think just because like really what happened is we lost control. Like I'll say we capitalists lost control of the money. And that's why we ended up in this situation. But now control is back and it's set up. Like if the founding fathers had Bitcoin, we would be living in a completely fucking different world than we are today, you know? And, we can just like, okay, we like with everything, you try and then you make a mistake and then you try again and then you make a mistake and you learn, and it's not failure unless you're learning, even though it's painful, right? It's like, okay, USA, like what I'll say, America, like what it means to be American, we can just try that again, and this time with Bitcoin. And so, you know, that, like what I want to do is just all of my art and all the work I do with Bull to just push America as like the dream that like, you know, makes you emotional. And get rid of all this other crap, man. Like nobody should be living in a fucking box.
Amen. And like, I mean, this is coming from a Canadian too. So, you know, you know, it's not just one of us, brainwashed Americans saying it, but like, man, I fucking love talking to you, first of all, because like your passion is evidently like real. your art is real as fuck. Anybody who's seen it. And if you're listening to this and you haven't checked out Maddox's art, like, please go do so, because it will make you feel something. Like, this is what the world needs more of. Like, it needs more of that, like, that fire and that absolute 100% refusal to compromise. Because I feel like that's what fiat forces a lot. It forces compromise, yeah. Right? Well, I have to do this because this is just the way things are done. Or I have to do that because, well, if I don't, I'll get in trouble. And it's like all of these things that just go against our nature as free beings. And my hope is that Bitcoin brings some of that back. And I think you're right about this American idea, right? This or idea or ideal, whichever way you want to slice it. Like, it is something that's really powerful, and it was infectious, right? It really like, once it caught hold of people, they couldn't help it. Like, freedom is like America was an incredible meme. Like, it was a strong meme. Like, we need, like, Bitcoin is arguably a stronger meme in many ways because it's global in real time. Like, America, the meme of America was not global in real time. It eventually became so, but it took some time to propagate. We didn't have the information channels that we did. Now we do. And it's like Bitcoin is everywhere all at once. That's super fucking powerful.
Yeah.
And it's like we have this, like, I there's always that question of like, oh, you know, I feel like I was born in the wrong generation or the wrong, like, I don't feel like that at all. I feel like, my God, how lucky I am to be alive right now, to at this brief window, this super brief window where we get to, like, be part of Bitcoin becoming itself. Like, how lucky are we?
Yeah.
Like,
well, and like when you say amazing. Like the meme of Bitcoin, it's like, you know, like, the United States has done a lot of really fucking insane shit in the yes. name of, like, bringing freedom and democracy, right? But, yes. like, we know that democracy is a scam. But, like, America, like, was pushing out into the world as like, this capitalist-based way of life that creates civilization and allows civilization to thrive at the highest degree. That's what Bitcoin's achieving right now internationally. And even just the idea, like, what the original American idea, the way I see it, is that doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, what, and, like, nothing about your class, we'll say, matters. What matters is your dedication to your craft. And that's what we celebrate here. And now that's been, like, it's the actual unleashing of it on the whole world, which is what I think Bitcoin is the culture that is developing around Bitcoin, is that same idea that doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, anything about you, what matters is the quality of your character and your dedication to your craft and your contribution of value to the world. And so, you know, now we look at the earth and everywhere there's electricity, we have the ability to transact with Bitcoin, and we have mining happening, and we have, because, huge surprise, people want and wish to be free. And, you know, the power in that obviously is, like, inconceivable. And, you know, it's taking time and it's going slowly. And, like, again, like, people who produce, create nothing, getting involved doesn't fucking change anything, right? It's the people who actually fucking shape the world and do the building and the entrepreneur that matters. Like, the Bitcoins need to go to the entrepreneurs, and the Bitcoins need to go to the financiers that are willing to finance entrepreneurs. The Bitcoins should not be going to fucking giant Ponzi's, giant schemes, giant derivatives, instrument, you know, all that fintech jargon, like that doesn't achieve anything. What achieves something is that the people who make life better are funded, and funded at to the degree that they've earned and deserve.
I think part of that too is like that is what is happening and will happen naturally. And a lot of the financialization, let's say, of Bitcoin was inevitable. Like, on the one side, like this was inevitable that the suits would come. It was inevitable that the governments would come because that is a symptom of Bitcoin being successful. Of course, everybody wants it. It's the best fucking, it's the only real money that has ever like existed. It's the best fucking money, however you want to say it. Like Bitcoin is the paradigm shift. If it was a loser, if it was Ethereum, if it was whatever other shitcoin, then no, people wouldn't be flocking to accumulate as much as they can of it, right? But Bitcoin is winning. And so, of course, necessarily, everyone from the individual to the family to the community to the retirement fund to the corporation to the nation state, they are all going to want to acquire Bitcoin. Now, at that same time, like, those institutions which are not productive, like, and the government is, for example, is not a productive institution. It cannot be. It only has what it has because it exerts force. And we can argue about, well, what is the true purpose of government? I take the view of Bastiat, which is that the purpose of any purpose of the state is to enforce the law. The purpose of the law is to organize for the collective defense of private property. Like that's the only purpose it serves, is to protect private property.
Yes.
And we know that our governments have become plunderers. They become vampires. They become parasites that steal the private property of their citizens under the threat of violence. And then now they're realizing, well, we can use that to acquire more Bitcoin. And by the way, we print money out of thin air. Wow, what a game this is, you know? But I think in the long arc of history, the value still accrues to the people who create value. Like, it must, unless, and I think that, you know, in the fiat system, that's not the case. But now we don't just have the fiat system. We have Bitcoin as well. If we didn't have Bitcoin, we would honestly, but we'd probably both be very nihilistic. But yeah, we have Bitcoin. Definitely. So like we have some hope.
Well, it's a peaceful option, right? Like if we didn't have Bitcoin, I'm pretty sure every single Bitcoiner would be in some sort of spin-off of like IRA, right? Like
we'd just be strapping up in a militia.
Because there would be actually no choice. There would be no escape from the fiat system other than violence. And like Bitcoin is the only peaceful way out. And like the major change with all these institutions and all these like fiat constructed people and companies and governments and all this crap is they can make the shift and they can start running Bitcoin and they'll have to at some point. And there's going to be a lot of like really horrible communists that have a lot of fucking Bitcoin. And a lot of fiaters that have a lot of Bitcoin, but the fundamental change is that now when running Bitcoin, there are consequences to mistakes. And so that's obviously the major benefit of fiat, is that there's no consequences to anything. And if you're in that top class, there's no consequence to misallocation of funds in government. There's no consequence to misallocation of funds in private companies that are big enough that they are, you know, essentially owned by the state. A lot of these institutions are going to end up with a lot of Bitcoins. But the thing is that the unfair preservation of that wealth will no longer exist, because somebody somewhere in one of those places is going to make a fucking mistake and they're going to lose the money, and there's going to be no government to print them out of the mistake. And that is the most fucking exciting thing. And why I don't stress at all if like governments are buying Bitcoin. Like, I don't want it. It would be better if they didn't. But on a long enough timeline, somebody somewhere will fuck up. And then that government, company, individual will go bankrupt. And they'll have to start over. Exactly how it's fucking supposed to be. If you make good decisions, you're supposed to do better in life. And if you make bad decisions, you're supposed to fail. And finally, we're going to have some fucking consequences and some fucking failures. And, you know, even in terms of like in Bitcoin, we're talking a lot about generational wealth and like preserving wealth into the future and all that kind of stuff. The Bitcoin is just one part of that fucking equation. You also have to create a family structure that ensures that the heirs will learn and earn the responsibility of protecting the wealth. And I don't, like, in my bloodline, if I don't do a good job of setting up my sons with a family structure, somebody somewhere is going to fuck up. And then all the wealth that I've worked so hard to create will be gone. As we've seen, you know, for example, with Vanderbilt or like many of these like old American families that used to be so wealthy, they just didn't have the structures in place. And with like Rockefeller and these guys who are all tied in with, you know, like the governments enable, they create monopolies, right? They're the only reason monopolies don't exist in true free markets, because eventually somebody will just take you out because they'll have a better product or a better everything. Like, it's just a constant war. And it's really the government that, like, in the name of preventing monopolies, that creates all of these monopolies. And a lot of these super old money families have had the benefit of being on the right side of those regulatory protections. And in the future, something scary for us to think about with our own families is we won't have regulatory protections to help preserve the wealth into the future. So it's really going to come down to, like, what is the system that you design and put in place to ensure that, like, that your son will be able to handle the responsibility of wealth and will be able to transfer that responsibility to his son, to the next one, to the next one, to the next one. So we get into this whole, like, new area of constructive thinking around, like, the way a family is put together, which I find extremely exciting. So the long circle back on all of that is that, like, you know, there will be consequences in the future, because if you fuck up with Bitcoin, there's nobody to bail you out. And that will make the world a better place in every way. It'll make families stronger. It'll make businesses stronger. It'll make governments hopefully smaller and also stronger, right? And hopefully put them in a position where they actually operate like a private enterprise. And they understand that their product is providing a safe environment and, as you said, the protection of private property for their citizens. And, you know, we're going to see, I think the whole world's going to explode into lots of really small micro countries. And it'll kind of be back to that board of like alliances and deals and this, that, and the other. But it'll all be just like the violence. Bitcoin extracts the violence of cooperate, like the violence from and forces cooperation. I should say that better. Like, Bitcoin encourages cooperation and extracts the violence from any situation of negotiating, which is really fucking exciting, because it's really hard to build when there's like buildings exploding and fucking stuff being destroyed. Like, we want to avoid destruction at all cost and focus on creating.
Hear, hear. And we also all need to, Bitcoiners need to basically preserve generational wealth like the Rothschilds. You know, like they, that's the talk about old money. Feel like, fuck, they did it well. Like, let me put, you know, one of my sons in each of these countries to run one of their banks. And that way, no matter who wins the war, at least we don't, we still got to, you know, we banked both sides. So it's all good. And like, you know, but except Bitcoiners are like not going to be bankrolling the wars. It's like, so it's a slightly different paradigm, but like, boy, you know, Rothschilds, they knocked it out of the park on that one. Like still just insane. Like the wealthy to the point where you, most people don't know who they are, you know, like that's, which is kind of what Bitcoiners want, if we're being honest, without all the other fucked up shit.
Yeah, that's true. Like, I mean, like they succeeded because of violence, right? That was,
yes, undoubtedly.
And so for us Bitcoiners, what we have to think about is like, okay, how do we build the same kind of wealth protections and security and with violence no longer being a tool?
That's hard.
That's to conceptualize, really exciting. Right? Really, really
but,
hard.
But it's hard too. Like it's hard because like we've been trained in this fiat system. We have been trained and ingrained. Like this is what we like. It's the air we breathe. It's the water we swim in. This is just what it is. And to be able to take a step back and say, but it doesn't have to be this way. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be that we just keep printing money to finance wars in deserts halfway around the world that none of us give a shit about, and then creating more enemies out of those wars because, you know, we bombed the shit out of their whole family and now they're going to be strapping a bomb to their chest later in life and coming back. Like we can stop that because that's not productive. That's ultimately only possible because of parasitism. That's the only reason it's possible.
Yeah.
And like it's just crazy because like I'm of the opinion like we just need give it another decade and a lot of these problems start to fix themselves because a lot of the people that are in power now have peacefully passed on to the next life. And like there are just so many old fucking evil people in the world right now who run most of the shit. And I wish them long and happy lives. But when they eventually make their, you know, pass on to the other side, when they cross the river Styx, I will not shed a tear. And I think that that's when we see a lot of actual change. Because I think us younger generation, sick of it. We're fucking sick of it.
Yeah, super sick of it. Super sick of it. And like, you know, the game has changed, right? Like, really, like what Rothschilds and all these other big families did is they just like rinsed and repeated strategies from the past because without, you know, the name of the game has always been to kind of get control over the money. And that's what we saw in the collapse of Rome, obviously the best example. But now like it's a new game. It's fully new. All the strategies to win are completely different. And so we don't know what it'll look like. It'll be a completely fucking different world, but none of like the power structures are going to operate in the same way that they have been. And I think that, and as I said earlier, like, and most of us who have been here long enough understand, like, now the most powerful piece on the board is creativity. It used to be violence. And now it's ideas. And that just unlocks like the full potential, I think, of all of mankind.
Let me ask you, this is something I wanted to get into with you, and I think this is a good time to do it. Just speaking of this creativity piece, you are an incredibly talented artist. You have not sold your soul to shill NFTs or anything. You make physical, real art. You're a fucking badass dude, if I do say so myself. And you also,
thank you.
You're welcome. I mean, thank you for what you do, man. Cause I think like we need more people doing this, right? We need more people who are uncompromising in what they do and who make real things. I'm really curious where you see AI playing this. Like, is this something that you mess around with in what you do? Cause you obviously create a lot of like different types of art, right? You create a lot of different composite works and all these different things. Like you leverage a lot of different mediums. You know, everything from massive, massive painted pieces to, beautiful pieces of jewelry and everything in between. Is this something that you leverage all? Is this something that you also worry about it all in terms of sapping the creativity out of a generation. Because I think like AI is, it's a tool like anything, right? It's like a gun. You can use it for good things. You can use it to procure food for your family, or you can use it for not good things. Like how do you look at AI as an artist, as a maker, as a real creator? How do you look at it?
Well, I think it's great, and the reason is because it raises the standards for everything. And it also is a marker for what's important, because the amount of resources required to create something that is not AI is so much greater. It means that whoever is pushing that into the world has to care about it that much more. Like the how the AI works is you can have the most sophisticated manufacturing possibility in the like conceivable. You can have the ability to make fucking anything. You can build that. We've got the tools, making the tools. Tools are getting better and better. The hard part is, what do we make? What do I make? Like, if I, like, what I'm working on at Madex is I want the fucking, like, when you start, you're shit. And then you get a little bit better, and you get a little bit better, and you get a little bit better. And, like, the better you get, the more you're able to bring capital into your environment. And the capital allows you to improve your tools that you have access to and also improve your own skills. And it allows you to grow. So you kind of have to, like, the way I see it, like, the most sophisticated laser engravers in the world costs like $50,000. And you gotta, like, your ideas is what earns you the right to use that machine to be able to create with it. So the AI is like, it all the inputs have to come from somewhere. And it's only as useful as like the mind that's driving it, right? Like it's no different than like a pen sitting there, or a hammer and chisel sitting there, or a rifle, or you know, any other tool. It's like what matters behind it is the idea. And so what I see AI doing is it's just going to make original content that much more valuable, and it's going to force because we're going to be in this like creative period where I think like probably I would guess for the next 10 years, you know, like creation in the first place. Like what I do is I have inputs from everywhere, from my day-to-day interactions, from the people in my life, from the information I consume, from the books I read, from the movies I watch, from the places I go, from the conversations I have. And I just take all of those inputs and then I like mix them up and then put something else out. So we're all just kind of taking in, I think the process of creating is you're just taking in information and then you're reworking it and then putting it out. And then you're just iterating on that. And like right now, that's exactly what AI is doing. It's just taking all of the resources available on the internet, and then it's just based off of your prompts, it's putting them together to try and like give you what you want, which can save a lot of time and which can help manifest a lot of ideas. So I think we're going to see like a huge amount of just really cool stuff done, but it'll all just kind of be reworking what has existed for a long time and like what's available on the internet. And that like eventually everything that we see coming out of AI will be like old in a way, right? So it's going to require somebody making something and actually feeding that data into the AI, which, by the way, I glossed over it for the sake of explaining the point, is going to happen all the way along the road. People are going to come up with new stuff and be feeding it constantly. So it'll be constantly able to create. But it's like the point being is that it requires the inputs and it requires the ideas of what to make. And that's up to us. And so I think it'll just make whoever has the best ideas just do that much better, which is what we need. We need the ideal situation is a competition of ideas of what makes the world a better place. And then we vote with our money on which ideas are the best. And the ideas that are good survive, and the ideas that don't survive, and we just continue to grow. So I think it's really exciting. And, I see it, as I said, it's just a tool. What matters is the driver, in the same way as money is just a tool. Like, you can have $100 million. What do you do with it? You know, you can have a huge amount of processing power in AI. Okay. So like, how are you using it? What are you doing with it?
AI doesn't turn a retard into a genius, put a different way, you know, like,
yeah.
It's just, you know, it's like retard in, retard out. Like, that's what you're going to get, you know, amplified, much more verbose retard perhaps, but retard nonetheless.
Yeah. All that retardation is going to broadcast and go out. There's going to be an insane amount of retarded shit. We're already seeing how much retarded shit there is, which makes you discover something sick that much more fucking valuable and that much fucking cooler. So I think it's fucking really good for anyone who's doing like real work, who's doing really serious work, because garbage, 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 garbage. Holy fuck. Like it's so clear that it's something that, and it's a signal that it's something somebody cares about enough to debt. Like that was way back when I started doing the Bitcoin art. I thought it was a great broadcast signal, because when the normie person sees the dedication to the artwork and it's all honoring this Bitcoin thing, that would be like a bridge for them to take it more seriously and be like, you know, and reveal that like really the killer app of Bitcoin is that like I would give my life for its success. Like, full stop. And being able to like communicate that to someone who's like, oh, what is it? You know, like in the mess of everything in the world. And then being like, wait a minute, like all these people are ready to die for this thing. It must be serious.
And yet so many are still asleep. They're waking up slowly though. They're waking up slowly. You know,
Netflix is like a $10 a month subscription. So
fuck, man. You know, I want to be conscious of your time here, because I didn't even notice we've been ripping for like 95 minutes already, which like time flies when you're having fun. I did want to ask you just like a little bit about just the your take on kind of like fiat art, like that this, like, I think it's pretty clear for anybody who has gone down the Bitcoin rabbit hole, maybe some tangential rabbit holes, that like, yeah, the reason that like there's a shitload of money laundering, like actual money laundering in the art market, in the fiat art market, not like the money laundering Elizabeth Warren accuses, you know, the shadowy supercoders of, but like actual money laundering by like a cartel of operators, essentially. Like, how do you look at that? Is that something that just like you just kind of ignore at this point? Or is that something that like, does that have an impact on your work? If like, you've also, you have to resist that siren song of like, yeah, well, okay, my painting, you know, this guy wants to value my painting at this much for like this reason and then resell it to another. Like, I don't know. It just seems like it's all such a, like a, the fiat art market is kind of a gross business. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's evolved to serve, fiat, right? It's this gray area where who are you to say what this is worth? And you know, I don't think about it too much. Like I really want to get into, you can kind of think about like the whole market as like in the core, there's all this, like in the center, there's all this like really aggressive criminal activity happening. And when I say criminal activity, I mean like criminal in the eyes of the government. Because right. Like, it's not really criminal activity in a way. Like, I think like being striving for tax efficiency, I don't believe that that's criminal activity. I think that's Amen. Just trying to not be robbed.
Yeah. Not get fucked repeatedly every single year by the state. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, but so it's a difficult thing to like, but then on the edges, there is like, there's the reality of it, which is that, like this painting I have here, this is one of one. There will never be another one that ever exists. And I think just as humans, we like to have things that are rare, obviously. Like our entire lives are like a push for scarcity. And in the face of fiat money, the one of ones become kind of even that, like the everything we understand about Bitcoin scarcity applies to art. Like there will be a supply cap on Madex. Like I will die. And, you know, the artworks that I've facilitated the production of will not continue. However, I'm trying to set this up like a fashion house so that I can eventually pass like my artistic lead role onto somebody else who can then perpetuate it into the future. But the particular works from this era, like each one comes with a block number and that's the only one, right? So obviously when money is broken, a lot of things that are not money start to become money. And art is one of these kind of great stores of value for a lot of reasons in the fiat world. But like, I think the main thing that I realized that was a little bit discouraging on my own journey is that I actually thought it was possible to sell like a $50 million painting as like an entrepreneur and like you and have a painting that sells for $50 million and it be like, I actually am buying this because I love the art and it's one of one. But then I kind of realized it's all like a club and I'm not in it and probably never will be in it because the people who are running the club are also, you know, pulling all the levers on in the fiat world. Right. So
you're not Hunter Biden, you mean, with his incredible art.
Yeah. So, you know, I want to get into the, like the fiat art markets 1,000,000% because, like on that outer ring, it is actually people who are looking for really awesome stuff and they want to like buy things as a store of value and all that. And like, and I think like I have the goal, which is like very difficult to reach, but like I have the goal that Madex art can outperform Bitcoin on a long enough timeline. And so right now I'm looking at getting into gallery distribution and like trying to find dealers that will represent me. And so like what people may not know about the art world is that it works very much like the music business. You have like producers and labels and all that kind of stuff, except they're dealers and they're galleries. And, you know, I want to expand out because I want it to be the work to be a Trojan horse into Bitcoin. I also want to be, better financed and I want, you know, I want it to be able to buy lots of Bitcoin in the bear markets.
Amen.
So I don't know if I'm really like giving a clear answer talking. It's a difficult thing to speak about because it's like it all kind of just has this function, which depending on how you look at it is good or bad. And depending on who's doing it is good or bad. And the one thing for sure is that the degradation of quality in art comes from when all the art prices started going crazy, all the dealers and galleries, they basically just had a shortage of good art, but there was huge demand. And so they were just finding people who made anything because it was like, it didn't, the actual art didn't actually matter because it had become sort of a financial instrument. And so the name of the game for the galleries and dealers were to just find anybody who was good enough at all and prop them up to be able to do all this kind of financial chicory.
Damn, and, missed my chance to be a shitty fiat artist.
I mean, you still probably can, but I think like one of the main requirements is you got to go to Epstein Island and things like that. That would be my guess.
I'm out on that. I'm out on that.
I'm definitely out on that. And, you know, but also like art getting shittier everywhere is like a demoralizing thing. It helps like the communist agenda. And then obviously with no time horizon, the incentive is to have things produced as quickly as possible for as cheaply as possible, and making something look better, like you could argue, doesn't really matter when the money in your fucking account is dissolving. So
communists,
yeah,
I fucking think, hate beautiful things. Communism must kill beauty. Like if beauty exists, communism will not thrive. For like communism never succeeds, but it may thrive for a short time, but that's only possible when they destroy beautiful things and create brutalist, disgusting, inhuman aberrations.
And the reason they end up wanting to destroy is because they just stop trying, basically, which I think is the most awful thing that can happen to a person. Is whatever they're doing, you know, and that's what the whole fiat system is set up for, is like, it's impossible to get ahead. So at some point you just stop trying, and then you start to resent all the people who were able to like move forward. But I believe the environment that will come from Bitcoin will just make it that much easier for people to thrive in whatever skill it is that they have. And also, I mean, the obvious thing is that market signals will be accurate. So you won't like accidentally invest your life savings into something that the market doesn't want because you're looking at incorrect data that's coming from totally irrational stocks or other totally irrational information. So like a free market just means that that resources are allocated properly. And the fiat market distorts all of that allocation. And also central planning distorts that, and you know, anything collectivist communist distorts that. It means that we end up with way more wood than we need rock, you know, or way more rock than we need wood. Like it's just always wrong. So yeah, I mean, like I think that I have a lot clearer answers when talking about fiat art in person. And lately, I've been, you know, I was really bitter about it for a while, but now I just kind of see the whole thing as like an attempt to protect wealth. And, you know, I'm in favor of that. I don't think that wealth should be stolen.
No, it's honestly, you always surprise me, Maddox. You like, that is a very nuanced view for somebody who is in this field. I also want to ask, so there was a question on Noster from somebody else who, I assume is an aspiring artist, because Tim Ridley Art. If you've got art in the handle, I'm just guessing you're an artist. And he wanted to ask you, he said, question, do you have any suggestions for artists trying to grow an audience? I just started on Noster recently. Awesome, dude. That's me adding a side note, but that's great, dude. Are there any things you did when you were starting out with sharing work online? Sick art, by the way, man. There was a comma man there. I read that really weirdly, but yeah.
Just fucking get better. Like just get better at whatever it is you're trying to do. Improve the anchor of it all is just the skill. And developing the skill to be able to produce whatever it is that your vision is, and wherever you lack in skill, finding people who can come in and, fill the space to accomplish whatever the goal is. The thing is that like really what it all comes down to, it is marketing, and that's really hard work. But one thing that can make it a lot fucking easier is if the artwork is just fucking undeniable. And I like objectively beautiful work. And so I think like in terms of growing reach, the most important thing is, and I'm like speaking, I haven't seen anything you're working on, who knows, but like, are you fucking proud of what you're putting out? And is what you're putting out something that you will hang in your own house and feel good about when like people come over? And just get better at like reaching whatever that is for yourself, because the rest of it is just so much harder if you haven't mastered your skills. So I think that's like that would be the advice I give to anybody who's working on something. It's just like, just fucking get really fucking good at what you're doing. And, at any cost, and, you know, go apprentice under somebody, go, you know, and like, don't have to rush into like being, the brand right away. You can work under other, you can work in other companies, you can work for other artists, you can, find a way to like develop and improve your skills. And it fucking takes time, and it's hard. It's really, you know, I don't want to be discouraging, but like, it's fucking really, really hard. Like, I've been doing this pretty well all my life, and seriously for like 13, as a serious commitment for 13 years now. And, you know, it's just fucking difficult. So be ready for that, you know? And, you gotta, the thing is like, you gotta really want it too. You gotta really, because you're never gonna outwork anyone who really loves and cares about what they're doing, if your heart's not fully in it. And, you know, I think a lot of people get started into art because they like think it's like an easy way to do it. Because in theory, like when you talk about it in theory, it all like just kind of is very hopeful. But the reality is that it's like insanely competitive, insanely difficult, and you have to master your fucking skills while also operating a fucking business. And yeah, it's just fucking difficult. So like my advice to anybody is like, do whatever you're already good at to build as much fucking Bitcoins as you possibly can. And either like through that pursuit of excellence in that field, you can find love in that area of work, or just build up enough capital to then be able to like make the swap over and put yourself in a position that Bitcoin can finance you over the years that you have to, you know, struggle.
I mean, it's good advice. Last thing I'll ask you, which is another question from the chat from my friend Avi Bura, who was just on this show a couple days ago. Avi, don't worry, I'll release the episode soon. He was wondering when secession presumably for Alberta. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's looking promising, but I feel like kind of the same way as when you know, believing that like the stripper is actually into me and maybe wants to like have dinner tomorrow. It's the sort of kind of same lead up, right? And, you know, it's looking really good, but I'm bearish on the actual separation happening, which is like, I shouldn't be publicly stating it, but I'll just be honest, because there's trillions of fucking dollars at stake. Like, I don't think anybody on the outside understands how fucking rich Alberta has the potential to be. And even if we do everything fucking properly, the federal government's just going to say no. And it doesn't matter whether it's lawful or illegal. Like, what people have to understand is when you get to a certain fucking level of numbers, it's all Pablo Escobar. Like, when you're at a certain level, there's no fucking due process or fucking anything. It's Wild West when you get into big fucking numbers. And So that's what it'll come down to. I think at the end of the day, it'll come down to everything being done properly, everything being done legally, everything good to go. We're fucking leaving. We're going to be independent Alberta. And then Ottawa will just say no and then back that with violence. And so Alberta has to have a plan for what to do when that happens. And historically, because this isn't the first time that separation has really charged up, historically, when the feds say no, we just say, okay, well, thank you for your time, and go back to getting ass railed year over year over year and having the fucking futures of our children destroyed and the futures of present families eradicated by this fucking behemoth abuser of a state power. And until, you know, something else happens. But I will say on a brighter side that this is the best setup we've ever had, and that Alberta is polling, not that you can trust polls, but at 40% in favor of separation with no leadership and no party. So, you know, the thing that could be really amazing is that some sort of Napoleon figure emerges from Alberta to really say fuck you and really back that. You know, what I would like to do if I had more time is just go and meet with every single fucking oil company and be like, just stop paying them. Just fucking stop. All of you guys just stop, you know, and take the budget from fucking 8 months. Take the money that we get, because it's billions of dollars that we send to the east. Like, Alberta pays for every single fucking thing in Canada. And, you know, unfortunately, it's like, take all that money, and then, you know, the only option I see is, like, private military contractors hired to defend Alberta against the Canadian government. And, you know, another thing is, like, we really need ally, like, ultimately, like, that's like a pipe dream, I think, but the realistically, like, the real scenario is we need Trump / the United States to support an independent Alberta and to maybe see the potential of having a Monaco Andorra style country just attached to the border of the United States. And support that and be like, okay, well, Alberta is going to be like the Monaco of America. And we're willing to back that, and we're willing to back it with the military. Because that's the only, I mean, like, the every instance in history of any sort of fun rebellion, the Canadian government has just stamped it out with violence. And violence that also is not always public, which is, like, if you go to a protest in Canada, you'll see the cops have video cameras. So there's all, like, the riot cops, and then there's just guys with camcorders. And they're just creating lists. And then, like, once all the drama is passed and the protest, then they just go after each person individually, one by one, and ruin their fucking lives. So it's really insidious. It's like a giant, and then, like I said, on a huge scale, it's like this fucking, there's an insane amount of money at stake. And so, like, the answer in fiat world is that means there's this insane amount of potential violence. And yeah, I mean, the only way that it's going to happen is if somebody somewhere backs it with might, with violence. Otherwise, it's just not going to happen. So, pretty real situation. Like, a lot of other people would probably be more, you know, due process, all this kind of stuff. But I just kind of see the world as, like, we've never actually really left, like, the kingdom's format. And, you know, the other huge problem we have here is that everybody leaves. Anybody with any fucking intelligence leaves. Anyone who wants to make a fortune leaves, right? Anyone who wants to be a part of sophisticated military leaves. You go and become American and join the fucking Navy SEALs. Like, we don't have any of that here. So it's pretty interesting, you know. But and then the bullish side is that, like, really, you know, maybe it's true that all you need is 1,000 men with AR-15s and pickup trucks and you can change the world.
I'd like to believe so, you know, like,
as long as they're powered by Bitcoin, right?
a 1,000 dudes with AR-15s and pickup trucks and Bitcoin, that packs a pretty big punch. Well, dude, Maddox, this has been a treat, man. Is there anything we didn't cover, anything else you want to get out there that we didn't get a chance to go over yet? If not, she'll tell people where to find you, tell people where to find your art, tell people what you got coming up next, whatever you want.
Yeah, I mean, I got a ton of original work coming out of the studio, and I'm just, like, leveling everything up. So have a new format, really expensive originals, and then a print system, Super HD prints. So you can see the stuff that I'm releasing. I've got the jewelry lines coming together, really cool stuff. It's much better to see it in person. And I would just say that, like, back the things that you want to see continue to exist in the world. And if what I'm up to and if what I'm doing is one of those things, don't hesitate to spend 0.3 Bitcoin on a painting, because it perpetuates this whole project forward, this whole mission and this whole signal. And this is a moment in history that will echo for eternity. And, you know, this is a way to be a part of it. And I'm grateful for everything that's led me to this point. And I'm extremely bullish and excited about everything coming in the future. Just amplification. And I think the whole, I mean, there's all kinds of drama within Bitcoin, but I think overall we're winning, doing really well. Start running knots is a major thing. It's a small contribution that you can make. And what else do I have to add? Bull Bitcoin is international now. So if you're in Europe, we can facilitate transactions at any scale. Same with Mexico, Costa Rica, and obviously Canada, where we started. And I think, and being a client of Bull means also that you're furthering the development of Bitcoin, because the talent of our engineering team is just, like, we're building the bridges and the infrastructure that is then rinsed, duplicated, and copied by everybody else. And we're very happy and willing to do that, because obviously, like, we say internally at Bull that our mission is to make ourselves irrelevant. So we're an exchange-based service. So the goal is to make it so that we don't have a business anymore, other than just, like, you know, developing engineering products and, you know, doing, finding new ways to do things. But we want to extinct the exchange side of our business and bring the world, help usher the world in, onto a Bitcoin standard.
Love that. We need a little bit of Bull Bitcoin in America too, though, you know, just saying, you know, next territorial expansion, perhaps.
Yeah, I think it's definitely on the map. Obviously, a lot of challenges with the United States. It's not as free as it claims to be. But, you know,
but
our goal
be.
Is to just, yeah, it can be. Our goal is just to enable people to live a Bitcoin life, transact with Bitcoin on a daily basis, and just have as little friction as possible to interact with the fiat world as we go through this transition. And I also have this painting right here, which is about to go to the framers.
Man.
Anyway.
It's a beaut.
I'm bad at chilling, but...
Dude, no. I'll drop your links in the show notes. Highly encourage everybody to go check out your stuff. Appreciate your time, man. Thank you. This was loved chatting with you as always. And next time, let's do this in person. We'll make it happen. Maybe I'll come up to your neck of the woods, see what the free state of Alberta looks like.
Yeah, well, I'd love to have you here. We're probably doing the Bitcoin Rodeo again next year, which was a huge success this year, and a lot of independent Alberta conversations and topics there. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing you in person. Doing an in-person one would be great. And I think I'm about to, like, the whole project, both at Bull and at Madex, is about to really level up. So I think the content and the conversations are just going to keep getting more and more exciting. So thank you very much for your time, Walker. This is great.
Dude, you are welcome back anytime. Great to see you, man. And yeah, thanks to everybody who joined in on Noster, too. In your small part, you are helping to further the mission of freedom from this fiat fuckery. So cheers to you, brother, and cheers to everybody who listened in.
Cheers.
And that's a wrap on this Bitcoin Talk episode of the Bitcoin Podcast. Remember to subscribe to this podcast wherever you're watching or listening, and share it with your friends, family, and strangers on the internet. Find me on Noster at primal.net/walker and this podcast at primal.net/titcoin. On X, YouTube, and Rumble, just search at Walker America. And find this podcast on X and Instagram at Titcoin Podcast. Head to the show notes to grab sponsor links. Head to substack.com/@WalkerAmerica to get episodes emailed to you. And head to bitcoinpodcast.net for everything else. Bitcoin is scarce, but podcasts are abundant. So thank you for spending your scarce time listening to the Bitcoin Podcast. Until next time, stay free.